This is CliffCentral.com.
This is the butterfly era, because that is exactly what Dumi said in the office just now when the song started, and she says to Michael Flex, "Do you remember the butterfly?"
Upon which he did say,
"No, he does not know what you are talking about."
Because he was not born.
Welcome to it. It's a Tuesday morning, 11 a.m. on CliffCentral.com with myself, Mabali Moloi.
And myself, Timi Meraki.
Timi Meraki and Mabali Moloi. And we are sipping tea. And today we are actually sipping tea, Shem. We're not trying to be, you know, to have drinking problems at 11 a.m. every Tuesday.
What she's trying to say is that we had enough to drink last night. So.
Oh, okay. All right then. Truth
this
serum.
Is the morning after the night before.
Truth serum. And as always, you're welcome to call us 0861-555-189, or you can send us your messages to WeChat on our Cliff Central account, or tweet us at CliffCentral.com on the Twitter.
Yes.
Now, Dumi, when you arrived this morning into the office, into the studio, you came in here almost spitting fire, and you were saying to me...
You're still laughing at me.
No, you said something along the lines of bad parents need to arrest themselves for bad behavior.
Yes.
So I think that that is a good place to start with exactly what happened to you this morning.
No, you know what? I think, can I speak to everyone who's to drop a child off in the morning? Can you just assume that we are all in a rush? We all have job to get to.
Yes.
So... for you to think you are justified in cutting me off, first of all, if I tell you what car I'm driving, you're going to think this person is very brave for cutting me off. But then they will say, why am I economically putting myself out there?
Okay.
So this this person cuts me off.
But now, I'm thinking... Okay, but I mean, the taxi driver, they cut us off all the time.
Isn't it their office. The road is their office. You don't come into my office
Are they allowed to cut us off? Because I think this is why... drivers do that. Is they're like, but this guy's doing it, I'm going to do it too, and then the next thing you know, we're all doing it. So then what's the problem?
But you can imagine the school my child goes to, there are no taxis involved.
Okay. So,
and I wanted to know, because you know what, I lost it briefly. I lost it, but I remembered that all three of my children are in there, because this is the first drop-off I get. I drop off firstborn first. Mm. So I've got 2-year-old and 3-year-old in the bag who are clearly going to have something to say should I freak out, and I'm going to freak them out. Mm. So I just felt like, man, what do you do in that moment? What do you do? Because I had to arrest myself. because I wanted to enter this fellow. And I wanted to signal to him, after you drop off your child, let's meet on the other road. Let's just cross road so we are far from the school so I can handle.
But are you somebody who usually is very aggressive in traffic anyway? Because now I'm very quick to let go of stuff when somebody does something stupid. Yeah. As long as it doesn't harm my vehicle and it doesn't harm me.
Yes.
I'll be like, okay, sure, it's fine. But I don't know that it's easy for everyone to do that.
For me, it depends on what I'm going through. If I've had very little sleep, I'm not the nicest person on the road. Mm. So, honey, I've had an altercation with a taxi driver. But after enough chiding from my husband, I have calmed down. I just feel like in that situation, can you just sympathize with the fact that we all had to wake up early? I probably have 3 times more children than you.
Yeah.
So assume that your stress is my stress.
And it's traffic, man. It's like traffic. We all get stuck in.
Everybody's, you're gonna get a turn. Again, is that thing I was saying about South Africans sometimes, that you know what, we are just badly behaved. Mm. When you look at the kind of problems this country has, is because people are rudely silly. And it's something that is just something that needs to be rooted out. Root cause is just you are rude.
Yeah.
You understand?
No, you know what, you're exactly right. It is a rude thing, because basically it's saying, I'm not sharing this road with you. And quite frankly, I don't care about you right now, because at this very moment, it's about me.
So
and what I need to do.
I'm going to ask that driver of CG36.
Please arrest yourself.
No. I want them to know after school is after school.
Oh.
They can just meet me on a parallel road. The one behind the school.
Yeah.
So we can settle this beef.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because it brings me to my next topic that I wanted to speak about before we move on to more important pressing matters of today.
All matters are important and pressing on this show.
Mabale, I grew up with boys. True story, I grew up with boys. And to this day, I don't have any underlying unfixed issues with them because we beat each other up and moved on.
You also got beaten up.
And
you,
I also got beaten
and
up.
And you did the beating.
Yes. And I mean, we're talking primary school, we're talking high school. I've had my fist fights, I've had my smacks. All that beef was squashed.
Yes.
Now, when you consider how aggressive South Africans can be, I am seeing a pattern. As children, growing up, we are allowed to express our anger and our hurt. We can smack, punch, bite, kick.
Mm.
Then the older you get, the more and more you're told you're a strat mate.
So you must check yourself.
So you must check yourself and talk and talk and talk.
And you must behave in a certain way, especially if you're a lady.
But now this is where I have a problem. In that I fail to speak. In fact, the angrier I get, the more I stutter, the pointless it becomes. And then I cry, not because I'm defeated, but because I feel helpless. Because I know that the best way to solve the problem we have right now is if I punch you or you punch back, we get in a scuffle. If you win, you've won. The beef is over. We don't have to be enemies after that because it's like, yeah, we settled it and we respect each other.
But now you and I are the direct opposite because I've been in exactly one fight in my whole life and I got my ass kicked. And it was two girls.
But what was the principle?
Two girls against me. That is my only saving grace. But it was not a fair fight. Two against one. Then primary school.
No. That's dirty. That's just it. They are strat meat.
No, okay.
That's strat meat mentality.
All right. So are you saying that this is how we should be dealing with our issues?
I don't know. I'm saying, is there a way of splitting the difference? Because I think we are all frustrated because sometimes words don't quite cut it. Because, you know, one thing I can't stand about women, and this is why you find I have very few female friends. I don't know how to do this backbiting BS. I'm sorry.
Mm.
I can't. I just need, let's settle the beef right now. Squash it. So we can move on.
But now it sounds like you're suggesting we squash the beef in the way that men squash beef.
Proper. Why do you think men generally don't suffer like we do? They don't because suffer they don't, from depression like we do.
They don't hold on they to don't, stuff.
It's but why are they not holding on? Because they dealt with it. Murom, no. Klapom, no.
Okay. All right.
No, you disagree.
I'm not sure if
I'm not
agree.
Saying every situation calls for it.
No, you
but
know
sometimes
what?
You are beyond words now.
I mean, I'm not sure if I agree because you're a mother, right?
Yeah.
And so if you saw your, how old are the kids now?
One is six actually. He's turning seven in March. So it's 6-year-old, 3-year-old and 2-year-old. And if so one smacks the other, I'm like, smack him back.
Okay. So yeah, because this was going to be my next question. With the 6-year-old, if you happened to see him settling a beef with another 6-year-old in the neighborhood and now they're at it on your front lawn and they're punching each other and they're kicking each other and like they're rolling around on the grass.
Man up, son.
Are you gonna stand there and watch or are you gonna run like, hey, what are you doing? This is not how we deal with things. Because isn't that what we are taught as children?
Yes.
This is not how you deal with issues.
Breathe in, count up to 10 and then talk.
Go into the naughty corner.
This feels like therapy. You're right. It's not all about the beating up. But can we not have a safe space of beating up?
I mean, if it was going to be a safe space, I would imagine it would involve a boxing ring and with all of us being padded and just punching each other with like foam bats where it's like, ha, 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 ha,
no,
and then it's not as harmful. Also, me, I'm a big chicken. I don't like being injured. And when I get my ass kicked, I get injured and it's just not nice.
But that was once in primary
school. Yeah, that
maybe
is true.
Maybe we must redeem
and,
you.
Yeah, well,
can we find them? Don't you want to? Let's find them on Facebook.
No, you know, because we apologized to each other. Oh gosh, it was such a pointless fight. I think we were fighting over the fact, Yahore, I could take you on if I wanted to. You know, and this is the thing with physical fights, is they usually stem from something
kind of
so
fight.
Stupid.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But yeah, it was harmless. Yeah, it was
no,
primary
you're
school.
Right. I actually do need to learn to calm down. I think that guy cut me off, just took me off.
Okay, no, it's fine. It's allowed.
Yes.
Okay. So, another thing that I wanted us to get into, which is something that a lot of people are being very vocal about on social media. Is the issue of paying back lobola. Once upon a time you meet Tepo and then you and Tepo fall in love and it's great and it's happiness. And then one day Tepo's like, yeah, what's up, King? I want you to be my one. And then Tepo goes to, you know, he sends his family through to the uncles and they do the whole thing. And now the lobola gets paid. and then maybe something happens and now the wedding must be called off. So then the question is, what happens to that down payment? Does it go back or does it stay where it was paid to?
But you see, Mabala, do you understand Lobola and the point of Lobola? Do you understand Lobola and the point of Lobola, my dear?
As far as I understand, the point of Lobola is the basically the groom and his family saying, we thank you for this precious gift that you have allowed to be a part of us and our family. And in return of this precious gift, here is 8 cows or 250K, however much you can afford.
Mm. Okay, so if you go and you buy this house and you say, oh, thank you. So you, that's what you're likening it to. That when you return the house, then you're going to get your money back. That's what you're saying.
Well, I'm asking.
But Lobola, you see, for me, it depends. There are people who I think are just doing Lobola for the sake of Lobola. Or Ilobolo, in fact. Can we just use the languages properly? Ilobolo is the Lobola, the noun. I get the thing itself, it's mm-hmm. ilobolo. Mm. Then ukulobola is a verb. So when we're saying lobola, we're actually talking verb. It's a verb, not a noun.
Okay.
So now that I've corrected, and the Zulus, please correct me if I'm wrong, because we talk mahadi as Batswana.
Hey, mahadi.
I honestly don't understand how you can be giving back mahadi, because the importance of the beast in African culture is that it is slaughtered because it involves the ancestors. The importance of the beast is the representation of wealth, is a representation as well of families coming together. So these cows are coming out of our crawl and going into your crawl,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and so it goes deeper than just its monetary value. Because you know what happens as well? What happens is if you divorce, for example, and Lobola was involved, do you know that it's equated to that person you were married to dying? Like, you have to go through a cleansing of senyama seo and all of that. And
I doubt that a lot of people do that, though.
They don't. And then they wonder why their following marriages don't work out after that. I'm sorry. I'm a very strong believer in African culture and the implications thereof. So this thing of you want your Lobola back, my friend, let me explain Lobola this way. Let me not be deep and philosophical. Let me just put it the way it is.
Deep and philosophical.
No, I don't want to be deep and philosophical. I want to put it the way it is. When you pay Lobola, you are taking that woman foot stewards. When you buy a car foot stewards, at no point can you go back to the owner and say, oh, can I have my money back? I just suddenly decided that I actually don't like the engine. Or, oh, look, I didn't realize you had a big scratch in the back. Foot stewards, me bra. Tengile, tengile, ketile, ketile, tatile, tatile. No returns. You must read the terms and conditions.
This is the fine print.
Read the fine print. There are no returns. No refunds.
But it seems to me that there is an ever-growing number of men who say, in fact, I must get that money back.
For what?
Because they're saying that they put the money down and now things didn't work out.
And now they want the money
and
back.
And now they want the money back. Honey, because things didn't work out.
Yeah. Then, I don't know. I'm not going to hook up with the guy who's looking at it like that, eh?
Mm.
Because, you know, when the uncles are sitting in there, that's another thing that pisses me off. My brother, you were not in the negotiation rooms when they were paying those cows. You don't understand what their terms and conditions were. You don't know what reasons were put down for that amount that's sitting there. So for you to say you want that money back, you are really getting ahead of yourself. Because you were not in that room. So what exactly are you asking for in return? What do you know that happened in that room that makes you feel like you're worthy? If you paid for her virginity, you ate it, isn't it? Now it's over, but you already ate it. Eh? Mm-hmm. Or you were paying for the fact that she hadn't had children. Now you've had a child or two, and now you are getting out, you want refund. No! You have eaten the very thing. You've devalued her. She was at a higher value. If you want to keep it on a value level, she was at a higher value.
You want to monetize it.
And then you
it.
Married her, and now you want it back. Then you must know it's going to come highly depleted.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let's not even talk about a failed marriage. Mm. Let's talk about the marriage didn't even happen. Because I need to, there's this situation now with Jimmy Tau and whatnot.
Mm.
He had this woman. Who apparently he I need people to speak about stealing people, even though I think that that's complete BS. But let's keep with that kind of language. He stole this woman from some other guy. Then he had a moment with her, and then he paid lobola for this woman. And then she went on and left him for another man before they even got together, like as in ceremony, or whatever. So now everybody's saying, yeah, but he must get his money back.
That's so weird, because if you think about it, lobola is not engagement. That's the beginning of the wedding. That's the beginning of the marriage process. Because once the cows have been exchanged, the deal is done. That's the contract done. Everything after that is sealing the deal.
So then maybe the problem here is that a lot of us are performing these rituals we're not all performing them the same way.
Yes.
And some of us are not even sure about why we're doing certain things in cultural practices.
Exactly.
And you say, no, I'm only doing this because Ntatemholo Witsa, I have to do it. Yes. I don't really know why it gets done, but I'm doing it anyway.
Oh my gosh. We're like totally doing the African thing.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to pay lobola so that I can tell everybody I was lobola. Yeah, understand things before you do them. Because also now, I can't wait. Please, I double dare whoever wants their lobola back to go to this girl's family and say, hey, I'm here for my lobola. My friend, I'm telling you, you're going to come out of there with bruises.
Yeah, no shame.
I'm telling you.
Because you see, a lot of these opinions are coming from people like us, you know, the young generation.
Yes.
But now go and ask the elders what the status quo is supposed to be, or what the situation there is supposed to be.
I'm pretty sure
they will tell you.
Even your own uncle is going to punch you in the stomach.
Yeah.
Or laugh at you, or buy you a whiskey and say, maybe you just need a drink. Because, I'm actually shocked at this conversation. I cannot believe that people are asking for their lobola back.
No, it's a real thing. They're asking for it back, and it's all over social media in light of this news story where, you know, this woman now left this guy for another man after he paid, and people are saying, no, he must get his money back.
That's the risk.
And if it was me, I would get my money back. Oh. But you make a good point. Who would you get that money back from?
Exactly.
From the uncles.
Exactly.
They're not going to stand for that.
Tell me, did that app actually exist? The one where they said you can value your own lobola?
Oh, it did, but I think it was one of those gimmicky apps.
I don't think it's a real thing. On.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to, you know, this growing up thing is hard, right?
Yes.
It's difficult, this growing up thing.
Yes.
You start working, and then you're meant to move out of your parents' house, and you're meant to start paying bills like rent and medical aid and all sorts of things.
Mm.
But it is so difficult. I don't know
what
if
do you it, mean it's so
difficult? No. It is difficult, though, eventually standing on your own 2 feet, isn't it? Becoming this independent person.
I don't know, isn't it? I mean, what do you mean?
Okay.
Like difficult as in?
Difficult as in, is there some kind of age or age range or age limit where the rule is you have to have moved out of your parents' house by this age, otherwise you are failing in life?
I've met 35-year-olds who must not move out of home yet. They're going to hurt themselves. They're just a danger to themselves and society. Now, I just think, and for me, it goes to parents. You know that those parents who just have not cut off that umbilical cord, like, I honestly feel sometimes I look at my firstborn and I'm like, I can see Bonsu coming when he's 10 years old saying, Ma, I found a flat and I have a peace job. I'm out. Deuces, bitch.
Yeah.
I think it's a readiness and maturity thing, because sometimes you mature enough, but you know you can't afford it.
Mm.
I mean, let me use my sister for an example, right? I mean, there was a time where before she started working, it was like, oh, I'm moving out, going to move in with my friend, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, you know, you're going to have to pay rent and buy groceries and still wear the nice clothes that you like.
Yeah.
And still go out.
And if you have a car, put petrol in the car.
Yeah.
Yes.
So isn't it cheaper to stay at home when you're not paying rent? Yes, you're contributing to groceries, but you're not having to like foot the whole grocery bill. You know what I mean? Some things are cheaper and you don't have to pay a laundromat because you know you're not going to do your own laundry. You actually have a machine in the house. Life is more convenient. So I think some people, if your parents have made home comfortable enough, I just made such a mess on the table.
It's fine.
Oh my God.
No, it's okay. We will have Duncan, who's very kind and gentlemanly, and he will come in and help us wipe it down.
But at least you didn't. The Kaitedi who cleans here is going to kill me because I'm sure she was like using her special. It's sticky. I spilled a little bit of my tea. You see what happens when I don't drink alcohol? Can we just stick to alcohol? Because I never spill alcohol.
Because you only spill when you're not drinking alcohol.
When I'm drinking things that are, you know. Not imbibed with. Anyway, yes. So I don't know. When you're ready, you're ready. I mean, I moved out of home because home was so far away from vets. And it was like, I may as well settle here because clearly this is where I'm going to find work.
I find that depending on whether you're a man or a woman, there are different pressures and people get treated differently depending on what age they are at in their life and if they haven't moved out of the house. Mm. I mean, I arrived in Johannesburg like 9 years ago. And when I got here, I remember staying with my brother for, I think it was like 2 months max, not even. Mm. And then I had, because I was working in Auckland Park, but he was staying in Midrand. And I was like, but I actually need to move closer to where I work because I didn't have a car. Mm. So then I found a small little student digs nyanya and I stayed there. And it was hard. It was hard. And I remember thinking to myself, gosh, I would be so much better off if I was still staying at my parents' house while I'm starting out in this very first career of mine. Because, you know, sometimes a first career, it doesn't necessarily pay CEO money.
Yeah.
You know, you're still starting out. And for me, I'm thinking to myself, it would be so much easier and so much more stressless for me if I could do this while not having to worry about major payments like rent and then everything else that I'm doing on my own because my parents were in the Free State.
But now, where's your motivation if there's no stress, if there's no pressure, if there's nothing forcing you to live a comfortable life?
Okay.
Because I had to realize moving to Joburg how much I like the nice life.
Mm.
And in liking the nice life, I did not want a sugar daddy or a guy funding it. I didn't want a sponsor.
Yeah.
I wanted it on my terms, my way. Yes. I didn't want now my cooch to become the thing that has to get me these things.
Because it's a lot more rewarding when you do it yourself.
Yes. So I think difficult is good, bruh. Difficult should drive you to want more. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think about it, we're also surrounded by those nice trust fund babies who can just move into a loft because daddy can afford. I've met people who are like, oh no, my parents were like paying my rent for like a good 5 years. And I'm like, what? That's very nice. Must be so nice.
The luxury. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay, all right. You know, I was just thinking it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I don't think there's an age. But look, if you're trying to get laid and you're trying to pick up hot girls like Boma Bale, you can't be living at home.
Yeah.
I think also it's about what do you want in life. If you're trying to get lucky and you know you don't want your mother to be hearing freaky dicky noises, you kind of want to.
Although in one of my earlier relationships, and this is when I was staying in my own place, I dated a guy who was still staying with his parents. And I remember when he first told me that he was so embarrassed to do that. And I was like, but why? And I think it's because of this, you know, this societal pressure of this thing of, but what kind of a man are you if you are like 35 years old and you still don't have your own place and you're not driving your own car and you're not doing this?
Does staying in the back room count?
I can see.
Because you know my people. Well, you move out of home, you're moving to the back.
Like, yeah, Vela, you're moving.
You've been eyeing that room in the back.
It's like the granny cottage, isn't it?
Yes.
It's our version of the granny cottage.
Yes. So that's moving out of home.
Okay. 0861-555-189. Let me just see here.
Because I know, in my single days, I wouldn't have to have a guy holding his hand, putting his hand over my mouth because, you know, I'm expressive.
Yeah, you see.
Now, mama and papa hearing things or just mama. Wee. Oh, those awkward, good morning, man. Yes, I'm Tumi from next door.
Okay, what? I get it. Look, it's a universal problem because Mark Mapori now says on WeChat, Mabale, I'm going through the same thing you went through. It's a universal problem. And, you know, in my mind, for example, what are you going to do with your kids? Like, when they get to what age and they're still living at home, are you going to eventually say to them, okay, look here. I'm going to sit you down and you need to learn about the realities of life. Or are you going to let them stay on with you for as long as is needed because they are your children after all?
Yeah, but I think for me, it'll depend. I mean, if you're staying at home, but you're not a dependent. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If you're going, ma, it doesn't make sense for me to go and live by myself because yes, I work, but I'm away most of the time. So I'm hardly home. You're not giving me pocket money, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're doing my laundry because I'm just that lazy bum. And you know, if you're not doing my laundry, I'm going to take you to a laundromat.
Yeah.
Then that's different. I think for you, as a parent, is how much are you going to take? But if you're that kid, you are staying with me. I'm clothing you. I'm still feeding you. You're 35.
And you are earning a salary. Or like, why are you?
What are you doing with your salary? And your girlfriend is wearing gym shoes.
0861-555-189. We are sipping tea with myself, Mabali Moloi, and Dumi Morake. Stay with us.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours. This is CliffCentral.com.
With myself, Mabali Moloi.
And her new BFF, Tumi Morake.
Oh my gosh, are we BFFs now?
Tagged.
But can I go around during the people telling them that I am your friend? No, this is a big deal. I mean, you're like a proper celebrity. So if I can walk around and say to people that I know, my friend, Tumi Morake, yes, she's my friend. Can I? I'm going to do it.
I can see Mabala walking into sponsorship meetings. I know Tumi Morake. No,
yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Look, this is us in a selfie. We are BFF. This is me with a piece of her hair.
You are going to be my
this
trump
is me
card.
With her blood.
Yeah. Oh,
this
yes.
Is me with her nails.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Wow. Your blood in a vial around my neck, just the way it's supposed to be done.
You have hung out with a different race of people, haven't you? Because my people have blood. We don't play like that.
No, we don't do that thing. So there's this thing about social media, ne? And how people seem to have all these rules about conducting yourself on social media, whether you are a singleton
yes.
or whether you are in a relationship.
Yes.
And I just want us to get into the nitty-gritty of this thing of social media etiquette when it comes to being in a relationship. For example, I see friends of mine, people I know who say, no matter entleki, I'm not going to be putting up pictures of my man on social media and I'm not going to be talking about my relationship on social media because just now you thirsty hoes find him, track him down, and then you steal him from me. These are real conversations that people are having.
How insecure are you, thirsty hoes?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about social media etiquette when it comes to a relationship.
Number one, chomam. Whether you put him out on offer or not,
yeah.
If he quenches someone's thirst,
yeah.
Please let's not be blaming the so-called thirsty hoes.
No.
I refuse these things. Ne? But they're right. I mean, there's etiquette. It's about what you're willing to deal with. I mean, I understand what she's saying, that she's not going to put him out there. That doesn't mean he's not putting himself out there.
No, well, this is the thing. It really doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
It has to do with your partner making conscious decisions to dip into whoever he wants to in that moment.
There's a dude I know like that, actually. He always posts pictures of him out and, you know, having fancy food and all at all these nice places. And I know he never, ever, ever has another woman with him. If it's another woman, it's family. It's somebody he's working with, or he very clearly declares this is a friend.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And so it's very, everybody knows he's a bachelor, and anyone who knows him well knows he's a bit of a young player.
Okay.
So you know without fail he's not alone, but you never see that person. And you'll be surprised how many people don't even ask. Yes, there'll be one or two who'll go, yeah, but are you alone? Yeah, but who took that picture? So for me, that's a smart singleton who's going, Mina, I'm playing the field. And if you become my chick and you've seen my social media, you know I don't post my girlfriend. So don't be, why am I not on your page?
Have
you ever seen a girl on my pages? No, I don't put my girls on my pages.
Yeah.
And then there are those people who make life very awkward for the rest of us, because then you've put your relationship on social media.
And
then,
everything about your relationship.
And then you
on
fight
social media.
Through your statuses.
Yeah.
It kills me on WhatsApp. It kills me every time where someone will write, if you keep pushing me away.
Yeah. Or they subtweet
there.
Each other.
Yes.
But we all know that you are talking to each other and you are having a fight.
And all going, eh.
This is awkward.
Yes, and we're all scared to comment.
Yes.
Going, eh, okay.
No, but we comment anyway, because the thing about social media is we invite ourselves into people's conversations.
Yes, yes.
Whether we were invited or not, we're like, no, I'm here.
Especially the instigators.
Yes.
Yeah. But sometimes these things are better left for the bedroom.
So is discretion the way? Should we all rather not be posting things about our relationships that when things turn sour, all of a sudden it's now a public forum and people are saying, yeah, mara I get a honole saw, and people feel like they're entitled to comment on your situation. Should we rather than just all be like, okay, keep relationships off of social media?
I don't know. I don't think it's necessary. I don't know. It's a power thing. Maybe it depends on how many followers. If you have 10 followers and no one cares about your life, I mean, just do it. But if you know you're going to have people in your face and you don't want things emerging about you, maybe keep it off. I don't freaking know, man. I mean, I'm married, but because I know it's well known that I'm married and it's well known who I'm married to, I don't see the point of hiding the fact that I'm married.
Mm.
What I will hide then will be what? A boy toy, a Ben 10.
There was a comment that I saw where somebody said, our relationship is between you and me, not you, me, and your 17,000 followers.
Ta-ta!
Which I thought, okay, good point.
Yeah, but if the person happens to be with you and you're fottering together, what's wrong with that? We're fottering, we're just saying, who hashtag love my life.
And then you also find these guys who have a problem with some of the pictures that their women, their ladies post on both Instagram. You know, there's this concept of Instagram girls where it's all about looking sexy and you're in there in your tightest clothing or in your most revealing clothing and your sexy pose.
And then you meet them
and you're looking so like 10 out of 10. You are proper 10. So you sometimes find these guys who are like, but guys, I have a problem with my woman posting such pictures on her social media. She's my lady. Why must she be displaying her goods for everyone to see?
Yeah, but now that's not a relationship post. That's an individual post and you're being a power hungry freak.
Yeah, now you are being controlling.
Yeah, just being controlling. Because, I mean, let's be honest. There are chicks who put their guys on social media just to send a message out to the other chicks who go to, I'm the woman. Sometimes they do it as bait because they want to see if he's cheating. They want to see if there's anyone else out there, so it's bait. You know what I mean?
But women are scandalous.
No, women are full of shit.
No, we are so
I love how some of them, you even see the post that they put on your men's thing to comment on another thing, you know, and you're like, okay, I see this thing was put there just for control.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hashtag
yeah.
Bae, hashtag what, hashtag ohot o joang, hankebe ili, you know, and you're going, what are you trying to say?
But you also need to ask yourself serious questions if you're the kind of person who is going through your partner's statuses, their timelines,
exactly.
If you're checking to see whose picture he liked. Oh, he liked the picture of that yellow bone with the big S.
Oh.
I mean, it's kind of like social media is the new cell phone where you take your partner's cell phone and you go through it and you're like, I want to see what you're doing.
You see, this
you also need to ask yourself serious questions if you're doing that.
Yeah, because you see this person every, it's your person. Why do you need to catch up with them on social media? Because you live together. I mean, it's so weird. Man.
This happens.
It does happen, but it makes no sense to me. And this is why I feel like even with vows, we need to rethink vows. Vows need to be reworded. Like, as opposed to, you know, to have and to hold, it should be to avoid your accounts and to respect your password.
Yes.
To keep it for the, like, to honor you. And if you die, that's when I'll break into your password and see, because then you're dead. You don't have to answer me for any of these things.
Then it's all over. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. And also when they're dead, are you sure you really want to find out there's other people just to hurt yourself on top of the hurt you're already going through? I just feel like if you look for something, you're going to find it. So same thing with your relationship. Think about why you're putting it all over social media. If you're doing it because that's the person you are, your whole life is on social media and you're able to deal, then do it. But if you know, that Utumi is there and Utumi's going to go, how? You're saying you're dating Mabale, but weren't you in my house last week with Nom Tandas? And then, you know, or you post hashtag me and Bae and you show yourself at some club and I go, how? But
Can't
hashtag
be...
you were with this Bae 30 minutes before.
Yeah.
But then you have a Drake Rihanna situation. So... I say, if you can take it, if you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. That's all I'm saying.
A friend of mine once told me, because we were all sitting as a group of girls and we were talking about if it is okay, when is it okay for a friend to tell me that my man is cheating on me? And there was a whole big argument on this thing, ne? Because people were saying, yeah, but it's none of your business. It's my relationship. So why are you involving yourself in it? And then others were saying, but you, if you are my real friend and you care about me, then you will let me know about something that could be potentially hurting me. And a friend of mine said, guys, unless you see with your own eyes, my man or my woman, okay, well, I'm going to say my man because she was a girlfriend of mine. She said, unless you see with your own eyes, my man, in some kind of nefarious act with another woman.
Nefarious.
Whether it be at the club and he's pinching her bum and he's pulling her towards him and giving her a kiss, unless you actually see it happening, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know. It is not your place to tell me about my cheating man. I need to find that out for myself. Unless you see it for yourself with your own eyes. And it's a tricky situation because is it ever okay to involve yourself in other people's relationships, especially if it's people you care about, like if it was your sister or your brother or your cousin, and you know for a fact they've been cheated on? Do you step in or do you mind your own business?
Whoa.
Yeah. Now I feel like if it was somebody close, like a cousin or a family, I feel as though I would need to say something.
Yeah. You see, it's here's the thing. You must know you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if they make up, then it's very awkward when you're around them. Because you are that instigator who caused the shit the first time.
Okay.
But also, be sure it's not an open relationship. Because sometimes we asfaga wena, because you know things. Hey. And next thing, this person's like, yeah, we're in an open relationship, actually. So it's none of your business. At the same time, it happened to me in uni where a guy was cheating on me. And my friends knew. And none of them told me.
Mm.
Yet when I found out and I was crying and I went to them for sympathy, they were like, oh, we knew. We just didn't want to tell you. I was so pissed off at them.
Mm.
I was so livid. I didn't speak to them for a good month. I was like, well, screw you guys, because you knew this was happening. So I felt like a fool.
Yeah.
I felt like a fool because I felt like, oh, so you guys were watching this whole thing and letting me be an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at the same time, when I think about how much I was into him, I probably would have been quite resistant to the news. You know what I mean? Because we all operate from ego. My ego would have immediately shut them off, and you know, unless they'd seen, like you said, something very clear, people making out, people in bed, people in a rather compromising position, then I go, okay, or ask me, just go, oh, are you guys still together? Yeah, why do you ask? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we take it from there. But yeah, Nami, your relationship matters. If you don't know me like that, don't come and tell me. You saw it. Yes, you know me. But you don't know me. Know me.
Yeah.
Don't tell me.
Yeah. Which is why I use the example of people who you are really close with. Like your family or your friends.
But you know, family will be like, oh, Mabale has always been resentful ever since I started dating Mang Mang in high school. This is how she's getting me back, by telling me that my husband's cheating.
So I agree with you. You really are damned if you do or damned if you don't. Because if you tell her, she's going to say, mind your own business, likely, because, you know, in that moment, her ego is bruised and she just doesn't want to deal with the embarrassment.
Mm.
If you don't tell and she discovers that you knew, it's still going to be, why didn't you tell me? Because you still feel like a fool.
Why didn't you start this topic with them, rather? I think this is the best way to ask them, like, what do you do? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
If you saw this, what would you do? Yeah. Do you think it's okay to tell someone? And if their view is, I don't want to know, then you're like, oh, okay cool. Noted.
Yeah. I'm just reaching over for a message here. Okay, let's see. Tumisha Malachi. Moving out of home, teacher's responsibility. The sooner the better. Maximum should be 25 years old when you are working.
Exactly. If you can't afford it, why are you doing it? You know?
Yeah.
You're going to end up in a situation. I don't know.
And if you can afford it, then push yourself to go ahead and do it so you can get out there
and start
get smacked around by the world. Because, you know, this is part of adulting. The point is for you to get out there and to be slapped around and to be taught lessons and to be roundhouse kicked and to fall and fail and to pick yourself up again and carry on, because that's just life.
Mm. And we don't all start the same. I started out literally renting out a bedroom in somebody's flat.
Mm.
Then I moved from that to moving into a bachelor flat. From a bachelor flat, moved into a bigger flat where I could share with someone else, but I owned the flat. And then on to moving in with the hubby, on to buying a house, and buying a flat, and then buying a house. So it's like some people start low, some people start right there in the middle because they're that actuary, whatever. And then there are people who, you know, they've been lucky.
And then sometimes life happens when you are 40 years old and you lose everything because you got retrenched.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you can't afford your bond payments.
Yeah.
And now you've got to leave your house and find somebody to crash with. I mean, this is part of life.
Yeah.
Justine Sparkles says, oh, no, don't tell. I told my cousin and we have not spoken in 6 years, so it's a no from me.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
sure.
That's rough.
That is hectic. 6 years. Do you know? It's interesting the things people take personally. I mean, I was reading a post by this lady whose son was getting married and she was refusing to go to the wedding because her ex-husband was going to be there with his wife, who, wait for it, is her sister.
That should be classified as a kind of incest.
He was sleeping with her while they were married.
No.
That she was the reason for the divorce.
No, I would not be
and
able to.
And they actually got married. No. Now, wait for it. It gets even better. This is 20 years later. 25 years later. Yeah, 20, 25 years later that this woman is saying, I'm not attending this wedding. After this has all happened, this is 20, it was a long time, about 20 years, yeah, since the incident had happened. And she's saying, I can't. And everyone was going, yo, after all these years.
Yeah.
All these years.
She.
Yeah, this because. Cheating thing is rough, Joe. It's almost like, you know why? Mabale, it's like if I come to you and I'm like, hey, yes, for that cheating dog of mine. And we laugh and we laugh.
Mm.
You call him a cheating dog, I'm going to smack you across the face because he's my cheating dog.
Mm.
You have no right to say anything about his faults. And I think it's the same thing with when you catch my man cheating and you tell me. It's possible that I know. And I don't like the fact that you know. What do you think? Because also I feel like now I have been you've king. What's the English for it? You're diminutiving me. You're minimizing me.
Yeah, like you.
You're undermining
patronize.
Me. It's not undermining.
Oh, I can't ask
you. You feel undermined.
Yeah,
because
okay.
I feel like you're looking down on me or feeling sorry for me or thinking I'm such an idiot because my man cheating on me.
So it's a very complicated one. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. So should we talk about hugger men?
Hey, is it that time of the day already?
Yeah, we're almost out of time.
Oh my gosh.
We've got about 3 minutes to go and then we've got to clear out of here.
Oh my gosh, I'm having such a good time.
Hugger men, if you're not yet familiar with hugger men is nice and it's fun. Because, you know, of course we can complain about the things that we find to be faulty in men.
Yes.
This is something that we are very good
at. Yes, yes. Women have we have acquired a PhD in that thing.
Yes.
Yes.
But instead of repeating the old rhetoric, you know, we'd like to change the
rhetoric.
It's because I felt bad that I got patronized wrong. Sort of. So now I'm just throwing out big English words out there. Like, no, I'm not. Like, I've got this. You know, like I'm okay. This grammar thing is fine.
Oops,
of mine.
Griffies.
But so you know, like once in a while, it's nice to praise these men.
Yes.
After all, we love these men.
We do.
We choose them.
Yes.
We love them.
Yes.
We do things to them.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You know?
Yes.
So, hugger men corner is all about just saying, you know, guys, thank you for this and thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Showing
and
them love.
And it's great stuff. Okay. Yes. So, you tell me about this week's hugger man.
This week's hugger man is to every man out there who genuinely sympathizes with a woman who says, I broke a nail. Mm. Too often we see guys who roll their eyes, who are like, ah. After they heard you scream or shout or see you crying, saying, and they don't understand. So this is to all the guys who genuinely, when I say I broke my nail, comes to check which nail, see how badly it chipped, offer me a plaster, offer me a, you know, do I need a panado? Those guys
guys who understand. Because
I was like, baby, should I call the nail people for you?
My
husband does that.
Baby,
should I call the nail people?
No, that's too cute. I love that. You've got a special one there.
I know that one is the one. He's one of those. That guy's special, man.
Now, do me best friend, because now we're friends.
Yes,
you're not here next week, isn't it?
Oh yes, yeah, I will be in Bali. Tough life, eh?
No, it's rough, eh? You're clearly one of those people who like. They don't go away over December. You go away in January when everybody else is like...
Yes. And it's funny. It's not even a financial thing. It's more December holidays are for the kids. It's the kids' holidays. They abuse us as much as they want. We are full-time parents. We do everything they want to do. We are in parks. We are at the mall with the, Paw Patrol. We do all of that crazy.
So actually, you guys are working in December.
Yes.
You're not working like going into work at the office, but you're at home working because you're taking care and being abused by your children.
Proper.
Okay.
And then January, Feb. That's when we go on our holiday where we leave the kids with my sister and the nanny and we're outie, baby.
All right. Well, enjoy Bali.
Thank you.
Can we Skype call you when you're in Bali? Are we allowed to?
I cannot promise to keep my phone off.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's understandable. It's fine. I was just going to say we must check in on you, like, hey, how's the weather there? Okay, that's fine. And then I'll just carry on doing
I think
the
I
show.
Should sneak in. I'm going to sneak into you, right? Let me sneak in. Okay. I'm going to sneak a call in.
All right. No, then it's fine. Then it's good. Enjoy Bali.
Thank you.
And we will see you the week after next.
Yes, you'll see me the week after next. I'll post pictures of me in my bikini. Yeah, right. Like this fat girl's going to punish the world. You will see me in my kazi, though. I think I look really cute in a kazi.
Yeah, I think you do too. With a sarong. Are you going to wrap around the sarong?
No sarong, my friend. I have a friend who kills me. She says to me, you know, Tooms, yes, you're chubby, but there's no cellulite. I'm like, thanks.
Cellulite is the devil.
But I was like, oh my gosh, it's possible to be this big and not have cellulite.
I have it in truckloads. It's the most frustrating, disgusting thing in the world. But anyway, it's fine. And thank you for hanging out with us once again this week on cliffcentral.com.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, then. We'll see you, I'll see you next week. Sipping tea.
This is cliffcentral.com.